Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning. And this Saturday morning, we are loaded for bear, as they say. Black bear season in Louisiana is open for the first time in decades. And as I've predicted the last couple of weeks, pictures of bear kills are appearing now on social media. We'll talk about the most notable one. A young man using one of only 10 statewide lottery permits took down a huge bear in Madison Parish. And we'll also remember Louisiana's most prolific and notorious bear hunter the world has ever known. I'm talking about Mr. Ben Lilly. We'll tell his story. Today's Bad Boy of the Outdoor story involves a black bear killer bad boy, Chris Buck. Also, he is a convicted felon with a firearm, and he's going to learn what that combination of a dead bear and a shotgun can mean to a felon. Now, as 2024 winds down, Bayou Wild TV, we're going to be showcasing some of our best of episodes, and we'll talk more about those. And this morning, we're going to ask you for some volunteer duck call contest judges. We have a mano, one-on-one duck calling contest. You are asked to be the judges. We'll ask you to cast your vote. We have, in order to maintain the integrity of the contest, we will just name them as Contestant 1 and Contestant 2. We'll let you listen to both calls, and then you, by text, at 504-260-1870, can cast your vote for Contestant number 1 or Contestant number 2, and as we go off the air, we'll announce the winner. Also, as always, we're going to get some live fishing reports from the marinas, from the charter boats, and in the duck blinds. If you have one this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments, your questions, with those reports from our professional captains and marina operators and duck hunting guides. You can do that by texting your message real-time into the studio, 504-260-1870. Unfortunately, we cannot accept your pictures of your catch there. If you want to do that, go to my webpage, dontheoutdoorsguy.com. Use the contact button and send me your pictures if you choose. All right, coastal marine forecast. If you are headed out this morning, Offshore, looking at east winds, 10 to 20, pretty brisk. Could be some pretty bumpy seas out there, 3 to 5 feet. On the interior lakes and bays, those east 10 to 15 winds will produce a light chop. Got a lot of tide range, pretty wide tide, 1.5 movement this morning. Mississippi River is sitting at 2.9 and steady. And when we talk to our plastic man, Ryan Lambert, we'll get him to talk about what a low Mississippi River can mean during the wintertime fishing and hunting seasons. All right, so there it is. The stage is set. We're creeping up on Christmas. Hope you're getting your Christmas stuff ready. Everything's getting into full swing, all the hunting seasons. We're reopening the duck season in the east zone this morning. We're going to check in with a guy who's going to be in his duck blind, Blake Swallow. He is the operator of Full Strap and Stringers. I've hunted with him up in Catahoula in central Louisiana. We'll get a duck hunting report on how the first split was and what's happening on the second split. I've been getting some good reports. Particularly a lot of divers have moved in. Lake Pontchartrain has been inundated with what we call dogri. A lot of you know them as scaup or bluebills. Some canvasbacks, redheads. Looks like a lot of the teal have maybe left out, but we'll be talking to Mike Smith again in the second split of the West Zone. It's kind of confusing. When Venice, Louisiana is in the West Zone, that's kind of confusing. But anyway, that's the way it's set up. All right, we're going to be right back after this timeout. We're going to head down to Campos Marina. Man, I had a good report from a lot of good reports from St. Bernard Parish this week. Despite some pretty chilly weather, they got out there and caught some speckled trout, some redfish, and some sheephead. Doing good. We'll get the latest from Campos Marina with Robbie Campo when we come back right after this pause. Thank you for listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. So what do you think? A Grammy Award-winning song? I don't know. It'll serve to introduce Robbie Campo at Campos Marina. And Robbie, I'm going to ask you for a snook report this morning. I got word that an acquaintance of mine, his wife, caught a snook in the Mr. Go fishing out of your marina. How many times has that happened? Can you remember?
I tell you, Don, look, I've been here 56 years. I have never, ever seen a snook caught in this area ever. I was reading, I know the guy, Scott Reed, his wife Nicole caught it. He's from Bay Minette, Alabama. He's, matter of fact, he's the guy that brought the wings, the turkey wings to Wingbone to make turkey calls.
I met him in the dove field earlier this year. Yeah. We were hunting doves at the
same
place.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. All right. Well, his wife, his pretty little wife, Nicole, caught that fish in the Mystico down here by Bayou Gallego, if I'm not mistaken. I've been here my whole entire life, never seen it before, but strange things have happened. I tell you, now, I was reading the comments because he posted on Facebook. One of these guides out of Venice said that they catch them every once in a blue moon out the mouth of the river somewhere, around the mouth of the river. Now, if that's true or not, I don't know. I've never seen it here. So, and we're a little bit further. And listen, before the Mr. Go was blocked off and we had, 16 parts of 1,000, 20 parts of 1,000 here at Shell Beach, I still never saw it. So, I don't know where this fish came from, but he was a loner, I guess, and he swam his way in here and got caught. But she did release it. She did release it. So it did go back to the water. So they decided not to keep it. So, but I think, I tell you the truth, Don, I don't even know if there's any rules for that in the state of Louisiana, because it's a fish we don't have.
It's not listed on our regulations at all, and there have been a handful of them I can remember caught, as you mentioned, down lower Venice. They come from Florida. They're very prolific. It's a very popular fish that people fish for in the shallow flats over there in Florida. But here in Louisiana, I don't know. They're welcome. They can come join all the other stuff we got. Speaking of, I had one of our listeners, Lafitte LT, made a trip down there. And, man, he sent me some pictures of a nice haul of a mixed catch, trout, reds, some sheephead he picked up down there. Has that been the ticket all week?
Yes, it has. And you know, Don, we had a big front come through earlier in the week. And, it was howling here. It was 30, 40 mile an hour winds, northwest. Water was dead low, but that has changed. So now we have east winds again, east northeast winds. It's about 13 miles an hour here at the marina this morning. 10 to 13, you know, it's fluctuating, but it's not really that bad. My kids yesterday, I even tagged you in it yesterday, they went out, my two nephews went out yesterday evening, and they went and fished up behind Bayou Sioux, going towards Pete's Lagoon and cut off back that area. And they limited out on speckled trout yesterday, and they put some, you know, some sheephead and some other stuff in the boat along with it. So, you know, we all look for these weekends, Don, to come fishing, and I think, you know, and the perfect weekend. And we don't hardly ever get a perfect weekend. And I'm not going to say that this weekend's going to be perfect, but it's going to be as close as you're going to get to perfect, you know, to go out here and do some great fishing. Water temperatures at 58 degrees this morning, they're catching fish. And if anywhere you like to go in your fall fishing spots, this weekend is going to be it. Over here in Hopedale Lagoon area, beautiful fish. Back over in the Biloxi Marsh, beautiful fish. Along the eastern shoreline of Lake Bourne, plenty of redfish. I had a friend of ours went yesterday on the eastern shoreline by Bayou Pedro and fishing the rocks over there. They had the wind to their back, so they did fish along the rocks there, and it was calm. And they did catch. They limited out on redfish. It's as good as you're going to get it. So our tanks are full of live bait. So if you coming down here to fish this week, you know, today or tomorrow or Monday or whatever, hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us. We got everything you want here, and food trailer will be open in a little while. So I mean, that'll be gone. You get some lunch when you come in. So. You know, our stage is set. We're ready for you to come on down and come on out here and enjoy your weekend.
I got it. Robbie, if I'm not mistaken, he caught those fish in the afternoon. He made an afternoon trip. I think between 1 and 4 he limited out.
That's exactly correct. They got finished catching bait, and there was nothing going on here, so they decided to jump in the boat and go see if they could catch some fish. And they did. They did very well for, you know, the little bit of time that they had to fish. So, like I said, they went behind up that cutoff lagoon area back there, and they did very well. They put 45 in the boat, and you know, no throwbacks. Don, you know, we were talking about, that's something I also wanted to mention. You know, we were talking about all these throwbacks earlier in the season, and you know, in the fall, I still don't believe that these fish went from 12 7/8 to 14 inches that quick. I think that it's migrated fish that came in. You know, but where's all the throwbacks now? So, and I'm not saying you're not going to catch any, because you're still going to catch some, but it's, you know, it seems like now, even the fish over in the Hopedale Lagoon side, had two kayakers come out, and they went and fished up in Hopedale Lagoon back there, and the fish went from 14 to 19 inches. And she said, and the guy and the lady, and, you know, said no throwbacks, not one throwback. So, and I'm not hearing the complaining about the throwbacks that I was hearing 3 weeks ago or a month ago, you know. So, you know, things did change, and I think we did get that migration of fish that, you know, finally came in. But I tell you, we'll take it. Whatever it is, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be, and we'll take it and let it go like that. I mean, they got, you know, if they want to run from 14 to 19 inches, that's what everybody wants. Look, go get them.
Go get them. That's absolutely right. Well, glad the winter time. Looks like we got a good winter time fishing season ahead of us, and everybody needs to get out and get them some. Thanks for the report, as always, Robbie, and keep an eye out for any more snook, okay?
Yeah. We're going to do that. And look, plenty of sheephead on the Long Rock, so if anybody wants to go out there and do that, that's happening out there, too. So, all right, Don, talk to you next Saturday, buddy.
Yes,
talk
sir.
To you later.
There he goes. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Yeah, those sheephead, great for a big family Christmas fish fry. All right, we come back after this. I got a Toledo Bend fishing report. I'm headed up there next week. Going to tell you what we can expect if you're going up there. Right after this pause, you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we get text messages that come in. We got our good buddy Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama. He's sitting there making some Wingbone turkey calls early this morning. You know, he kind of reminds me of Santa and his elves. You know, he's sitting in his little shop working his beautiful Wingbone turkey calls. He makes some great ones. Wingbone, you got to put the machinery down and get that rifle and get out there and get you one of those deer. A lot of people are headed out. In fact, we got Taft. He's checking in from the Baton Rouge area. He's headed to Gross Tate again this morning, looking for a good, mature buck. He ain't settling for any doe. Says he wish he was headed to Toledo Bend, and it's a Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas back at you, Taft. Yeah, Toledo Bend, I'll be headed up there with our Bayou Wild team. We're going to be doing some freshwater fishing for sockeye, white perch, crappie, whichever you want to choose to call them, and some bass, and recording an episode on Bayou Wild TV. You'll get to see that. We're going to be fishing with Josh Sykes of Bent Rides God Service. We're going to be staying at the wonderful Wildwood Resort up there, beautiful place up there in Toledo Bend. We just don't get up there enough. They don't go to most places enough, but that's another story. Here's his report this week on the crappie. There's still some fish in the brush piles in 20 to 30 feet of water on the south end of the lake. The fish are hard to make bite, and they're having to move a lot and fish 20-plus piles in a day to catch the numbers. The best bite is north of the bridge from the chicken coop to Huxley. And you got to look for standing timber on the creek and river ledges and then drop down a 1/32-ounce jig down to them. The bright colors work best on the cloudy days, and natural colors like the monkey milk work better when the sun's out. They're averaging around 50 a trip, but a lot of 2-pound-plus fish. That's some good crappie results there. On the bass side of it, continue to be as good as ever. They have had one heck of a winter up there. They're catching 50 to 100 bass a day, some days catching well into the triple digits. You look for shad around the main lake drains and the points. Whatever depth the shad are at, that's where the bass are going to be that day. Use deep-diving crankbaits. They're fishing Alabama rigs. The Yamamoto scope shads and jig and spoon are catching the majority of their fish each day. I talked to Josh yesterday. They started off with a couple of really nice fish, 5- and 6-pounders, which are not uncommon at all up at Toledo Bend. And then it was kind of downsized from there. But the action was there, over 100 fish. And we're looking forward to our trip up there in the middle of next week. And we'll have a report, not only a report, but we'll have some video for you. And that'll come to you on one of our Bayou Wild TV episodes. All right, black bears. We're going to talk about bears this morning. You know, the black bear is a real conservation success story here in Louisiana. They were listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act way back in 1992. And then when the Black Bear Management Program was instituted, they were brought back to numbers now that warrant a hunting season. True, it's only 10 permits that have been distributed, and it runs now through December 22nd. It's a short season in Bear Management Area 4. That's Tensaw, Madison, East Carroll, West Carroll parishes, and some portions of Richland, Franklin, and Catahoula. This was done by lottery fees and license revenues, and by my calculations, a $50 application fee times 973 people applied, that's $48,650. Then to get the license, once you apply for it, there were 649 people applied for bought licenses. You had to buy a license before you could apply, times $25, that's another $16,000. Looks like about $65,000, give or take a few pennies, was earned, and this is supposed to go in to better management of the black bear. If you saw my Facebook page this week or yesterday, I posted a couple of pictures of bears. One was a bear we're going to be talking about a little bit later on that was killed by a convicted felon. The other was a very nice story about a young teenager. I think he was either 13 or 14 years old. And this young man went out and shot a 490-pound bear that's estimated to be 20 years old. In the picture with Fisher Brown, that's his name. Maria Davidson, the lady I call the bear lady, she worked tirelessly for Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery in the Black Bear Restoration Program, and she was very proud to get in the picture with the young man, and kind of shows the results, the fruits of her labor for all those years. So good to see you, Maria, and congratulations to Fisher Brown. By last count, I think of the 10 permits that we issued, 4 have been filled so far, and still got lots of time to get out this weekend, all next week, and then next weekend for those who were lucky enough to be drawn for the permits. When we come back after this, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about a notorious bear hunter. Maybe you've never heard of him, maybe you have. The name Benjamin Vernon Lilly. Does that ring a bell? He was one of the most prolific hunters, and I'll tell you, quite the character. And he was not only here in Louisiana. He was born in Wilcox County, Alabama, traveled to New Mexico, and he hunted cougars and bears and chicken hawks and grizzly and you name it, he hunted it. And quite a houndsman, big game hunter. He was kind of one of the last of the mountain men here in the American Old West. Ben Lilly, we'll talk about him and our on-air duck calling contest. We want you to be a judge. Please get ready to text us at 504-260 for your choice of the winner. We're back to do it all right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, we're talking about black bear hunting in Louisiana, first season in years done on a small situation where there were only 10 permits issued. They may up that again next year depending on the success of it. But one of the most prolific bear hunters ever to walk Louisiana is a guy named Ben Lilly. What a character. And there's a lot of books written about him. And one of my favorite all-time books is called Ben Lilly's Tales of Bears, Lions, and Hounds. He was a dog guy, long beard, a lot of times didn't wear shoes. You talk about tough as nails. He slept in trees. He would leave. And one of the funniest stories about Ben Lilly, he was married, and his wife didn't know. When he left to go hunting, she didn't know if he was going to be gone 4 hours, 4 days, or in one case, where his wife sent him out there, had a chicken hawk that was eating the chickens around the house, and she told him, go get that chicken hawk. Well, he went missing for 2 years. 2 years. And when he came back, she asked what happened, and he said that hawk just kept on flying. Ben Lilly. I discovered Ben Lilly. There's a small statue, a monument in Mayrouse, a little town up in North Louisiana, dedicated to Ben Lilly. He traveled all over the Gulf South. I think he was responsible. They estimate he killed between 600 and 1,000 cougars, mountain lions. There used to be a bounty on them, no telling how many bears. He hunted everything. And you just got to read one of the books. You can Google it. Ben Lilly, L-I-L-L-Y apostrophe S. He was born, I think, in 1856. And he died around 1936, lived to the ripe old age of, I think, 81. Ben Lilly, one of the most prolific bear hunters ever. All right, we are going to ask you to judge a duck calling contest. I've got two renditions, two routines from a contestant number one and contestant number two who shall remain unnamed to protect the integrity of the program. And after you hear them, I want you to text me simply contestant number one or contestant two. We'll tally them up at the end of the program and announce the winner of our duck calling contest on the air. We're back to hear them right after we pause just 10 quick seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, all you duck hunters and duck enthusiasts, if you've ever been to a duck calling competition, there's a certain routine and the judges are things they're looking for, different notes and, you know, the hail call and then the come close call and then the feeding chuckle call. And it's grown into a huge, huge event. We've only had a couple of Louisianians ever win the national championship. And I've got someone that sent me a couple of, the Steel Man, as a matter of fact, he sent me a couple of entries, and we're going to let you listen to them, and then after we listen to one and two, I want you to vote and tell me which one you think the best. I listened to them, they're both pretty close in my opinion, but there was a clear winner. We'll see if you agree with me. Here's contestant number one, duck calling routine. All right, that's number one. Let's hear from number two. All right, there you go. Cast your vote. Get them in quick. 504-260-1870. That is our text line. Please send it in and vote for the contestant of your choice. And speaking of casting votes by text messages, in 2 weeks, on the last show of the year, you know what we do. If you've been a regular listener, we have nominated, I've selected four of the very egregious Bad Boy of the Outdoor cases. We'll rerun those for you and then let you make a decision, and we'll announce the baddest of the bad for the year 2024. All right, Bayou Wild TV, as we wrap up 2024, we're kind of looking back. And this week's show, if you haven't seen it yet, it's on air now. You can check it out on YouTube. Go to BayouWildTV.com, and you'll see a list of all the stations, the times, and the locations where it airs. This one is Best of Hunt of a Lifetime. We've had a lot of Hunt of a Lifetime with kids with terminal illnesses and taking them out for whatever their choice to hunt or fish for in their lifetime. And there have been some very successful ones and some very heartwarming moments. I suggest you watch it. Next week, it'll be the Best of Our Tigers in the Wild. Tigers in the Wild, of course, we take LSU athletes on hunting and fishing trips, and we had a lot of successful and a lot of fun trips. You'll see the best of those on next week's show. In fact, we'll be recording one of those next week. I'm going to be returning to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. We'll be doing that this weekend. In fact, I'll be leaving tomorrow. We're going to do some floundering, and we're going to do some duck hunting with a couple of LSU ball players, Maddie McKee, who is a softball player, and Gavin Guidry, the pitcher for the LSU Tigers. We'll be doing some floundering and duck hunting with them, and you'll see that on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. And then finally, the last week of the year, December 26th, that week, we'll be running the Bayou Wild's Year in Review. Highlights from our seasons number 12 and 13. Can you believe it? 12, 13 full seasons of Bayou Wild TV. And thank you for making it one of the top outdoor programs produced in the state of Louisiana. All right, we come back after this. We're going to get to some more. You check on who's voting for which duck calling contestant. Got some funny comments, your text messages, and we got live fishing reports all still ahead. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, thank you for casting your votes on our duck calling competition. It's mano a mano. We do not have the names of the contestants, only their numbers, and I got to tell you, there's a one vote lead right now. It's very, very tight competition. So cast your vote for contestant number one that you heard, or number two. 504-260-1870 is the number to text. All right, getting to those text messages, let's see. We got the backstrap stacker checking in from Alabama. He said, we had someone catch a big snook over here in Soldiers Creek in Lillian this summer, a 7-pounder. And then it says, we're heading, and your text cut off. I'm in suspense, backstrapper. Finish that text. I'm assuming you're going out on the deer stand this morning. We got another text message comes in, says, I'm headed to get the big one in Slidell this morning. I slept in Wednesday, and he slipped through at 7:40. Don't you hate that? That's the thing about those cameras with the dime and date stamp. Man, you know, I've had that happen to me when I should have been there and wasn't. Hope you get him today. All right, we got David Hubble checking in from Mobile, Alabama. He says he's not working on turkey calls, but he's working on a double batch of pepper jelly. Man, that is some good stuff, too. I'm glad I got a little bit of a supply left to put on the old biscuits. And he says, my Melitone dish, which I can't take credit for it. Janice, my friend Janice Lamont, did all the work on that, and it was excellent. Fall and winter Melitones goes great in Louisiana. Yeah, and I say Melitone, a lot of ways to pronounce it. All right, the Mobile Tensaw Delta report was on fire this week, so it took off Thursday and Friday and has definitely slowed down. Caught a few, but nothing like early in the week. Maybe the 5 inches of rain, the full moon, or the low tide. Yeah, it could have been any of those things. All right, and here's someone wants to know if I've ever heard the song Swamp Pop, Walking in the Woods with My Paran by Black Guidry. Yes, I have. I think it's a pretty humorous little song, and even though there is something in there about hunting rabbits at night, that's all in good fun, you know. All right, doesn't promote it. All right, and here's one of the comments on our duck calling. It says they voted for number one. Number two sounds like a chicken. Well, maybe there's some value in being able to call in chickens, huh? All right, got some, you're going to have to, on Bayou B, I think you're talking about Bayou Biloxi. I'm not sure which bayou you're talking about. Maybe we can help you get some information on that. All right, here we go. Wishing I was on the stand or on the blind, but I have to drive my daughters in the Harahan Christmas Parade. That's from Justin, the duck guy. Well, Justin, you know, you got time to get out there. Spend time with those daughters in the parade, man. You will never regret that, believe me. All right, Chris and Teresa from Denham Springs. Good morning, Don. Hope your trip to Toledo been a successful. Y'all will be in great company with Josh Sykes and Bent Rides Guide Service. It's who we fish with, and they are great. Don't forget the fish fry mix. Oh, I would never do that. All right, I do want to remind you ladies who are interested in getting into fishing, The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is offering some Spring Women's Fishing 101 workshop. And there's an application period which is underway right now. This is open to women over 18 who want to become knowledgeable and confident anglers. They will have Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery biologists and volunteer instructors training 15 women in fish identification, fish handling, preparing fish, basic fishing skills, cleaning, storing, and cooking fish. So if you want to get in on that, you need to apply now. They're going to be held on, the first one will be Saturday, February the 8th at Wadeel Refuge in Baton Rouge. That application period is open till January the 5th. The second will be on Saturday, April the 5th, and that will be, again, at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge in North Baton Rouge. The application period for that one does not start until February the 10th until March the 9th. So if you want to apply for the one for February 8th, you've got till January the 5th. And how do you do it? Well, go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. And, you know, you'll have to have, if you're going to register, you have to have a valid fishing license to participate in the workshop. You don't need to get it to register. So if you get chosen, then you can buy your fishing license. You should have one anyway. Everybody should get a fishing license. You never know when you might need it. Anyway, go to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. LDWF.com is one of the ways you can get it. Or you can simply Google Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries and then look for it. You'll see it. The Spring Women's Fishing 101 Workshop applications. All right. There you go. All right. We're looking for some more votes. 504-260-1870. We're not going to play those duck calls again. If you happen to hear them, which one did you prefer? Was it contestant number one or contestant number two? We'll announce the winner before we go off. Oh, it was Bayou Bienvenue. It was the Bayou B. All right. We're going to have Mike Gallo on in about 20 minutes, and we will make a special effort to get him to give us a Bayou Bienvenue report. Yeah, that's right there near Chalmette. All right, so we got all that going on. We got duck hunting coming up, too. We're going to be talking to a guy I hadn't talked to so far this season. I did talk to him, but not on the air, and that's Blake Swallow. Runs a great operation up near Catahoula Lake, full strap and stringers, because they do cast and blast, but not like they do down on the Gulf Coast where you hunt for ducks in the morning and then you go out and catch speckled trout and redfish and other saltwater fish in the afternoon. They do freshwater fishing. Got a beautiful lodge up there and a great guy, and they put forth a lot of effort to make your trip successful, as many of them do. All right, so we'll be back to talk to Darryl Carpenter and find out how lonely Grand Isle can be this time of year. Well, it might be a great place to spend a Christmas vacation. Rent you one of those camps down there and maybe boil some crabs and get on the beach, go sit out there and do some surf fishing. You know, there's a lot to do in Grand Isle, bird watching, even though it is wintertime. We're back with Darryl's report right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, the good thing about traveling down to Grand Isle to get these reports on Saturday mornings, there's no traffic. I don't see any traffic headed down there this time. Not much, anyway. Let's talk to Darryl Carpenter. Darryl, you got a traffic report from Grand Isle this morning?
Yeah, Don, you don't have to worry about getting a brake job before your thumbs won't be hitting very often.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, but there are a few diehards that go down there, and they really enjoy this time of year down there, the holiday season.
Oh, Don, look, with especially that side of the road fishing, man, that's not something you're just going to show up and do. It's not something you're just going to show up and expect to, you know, get your 15 trout and be gone in an hour. Unless you spend some time learning where the drop-offs are, where the sandbars are, where the pits are, you know, where the deep holes are, it's truly a fishing, and it's truly, you know, it's fishing, not catching most days. And then when you do find them, it turns into a bonanza. But it's truly a day you're going to go down there, and you're going to invest some time and some knowledge into your fishing expertise.
Absolutely. Well, what would you suggest? Excuse me, if somebody's headed down there this weekend, given the conditions we got, probably a little breezy down there. Got a wide tide range, 1.5 foot movement down there. I guess the old find the bait and find the clean water. Huh?
Well, yeah, and that's sometimes that's hard to do this time of the year. But I mean, there hadn't been a whole lot of boat traffic this week at all with the weather that we've been having, and I don't anticipate there's a whole lot coming down. I mean, I peeked at the forecast this morning. They still got small craft advisories out and predicting 15 to 20 all weekend. It's nowhere near that right now. What's going to happen when the sun comes up? Who really knows? But blowing about 9, 10 miles an hour right now. Up and down the side of the road is going to be good. I mean, it's that time of the year. We're going to talk about it every week and, you know, all the way through the first of the year. There were the few boats that did hit the marsh this week had to go way up in the marsh and find some places and, you know, just hide from the wind and the weather. This time of the year is a good time to good old stink crickets, the dead shrimp. Make sure you've got plenty of dead shrimp with you because you've always got your fallback. The few little white trout, you know, the few white trout that are still left in the marsh, then you've got your sheephead, your black drum, and your redfish. So there's always an opportunity to put a box of fish together. Sometimes finding the clean water, it's relevant this time of the year. You find cleaner water. A lot of times here this time of the year, it's looking for weirs at the end of canals, weirs at the pipeline intersections, that type of stuff. And that'll increase your redfish and your sheephead catch tremendously because they're looking for that structure to where they can find those little baby crabs and that bait that's remaining in the marsh.
Darryl, we enjoy such a liberal limit, you know, no size limit, no creel limit on sheephead. Do you think that's going to continue?
It's been a few years since I saw a sheephead survey. The last survey I saw showed that it was down just a little bit. But with the economics that we've got going on right now in our area, I don't see a whole lot of pressure on them. It is a commercial fish in Louisiana, so I mean, there's no commercial limit on it. I think they're pretty healthy, Don, and unless the recreational pressure and everything else turns heavy to it, I think we'll probably see that for a while to come.
How are they caught commercially? You know, the gill nets are not allowed, so there's just a handful of rod and reel commercial license holders still out there. How do they get into commerce? Shrimpers?
Well,
maybe? Do they come up as bycatch?
There's two ways. There's two ways, and bycatch is it's a catch-all. There are some rod and reel fishermen. And then the other way is they make, you know, under the guise of bycatch, some of these net shops make these much larger nets to where they, you know, when I say larger, I mean larger squares in the nets where they can be pulled a lot faster. And under the term of bycatch, they're actually out there pulling shrimp nets looking for the black drum and the sheephead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know a lot of they run lines a lot of times for those black drum in certain areas, because that's also a fish that can be put in the commercial. But I don't know, just puzzling on how so many sheephead are harvested, because I know there's a lot of sheephead that's being sold in seafood markets and delis and grocery stores.
Yeah, Don, and you know, when they pull these larger, what they call fish nets, for the sheephead, of course, they're looking for deeper holes and stuff like that to where they can catch them. And they pull them a whole lot faster than what they would if they were shrimping. It's no secret. I've got commercial licenses too. And I think the last time I looked at selling a boatload of sheephead, I think they were running like 60 cents a pound on the hoof. It's you got to catch a lot of them to make any kind of profit on it.
Tough way to make a living. Well, Darryl, you make a living taking people fishing for fun. Tell them how to get you if somebody's interested in doing that.
Don, they can always find me on your site, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find me on RealScreamers.com. Or the easiest way sometimes is just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288. Especially this time of the year, we've always got plenty of time to talk fishing.
Very good. See you next week, Darryl. Thanks so much. And when we come back after this time out, more fishing reports, the stuff you and I love to talk about, and some in-the-blind duck reports, all next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And good Saturday morning. Welcome back in. Let's see, what do we got going on this Saturday morning? We are right in the middle of a duck calling contest. Hopefully you were tuned in earlier. If you weren't and you want to go back, you can always go back and check the podcast out. You can find that on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and there's a link to all of our past shows. And you can listen to renditions from contestant number one and contestant number two, who are unnamed. We want to thank the Steel Man, one of our regular listeners, for providing the routines, the calling routines. And I got to tell you, one is pulling away from the other. I'm not going to tell you who's in the lead, but we ask you to vote if you heard them for either contestant number one or contestant number two, and we'll announce the winner. All right, still to come, we got Mike Gallo, born on the Bayou, going to get his report. Someone wanted to know about Bayou Bienvenue. That's one of his places. We'll find out what's been going on in that area. Also, Brendan Bayard with our paddler's report. Last week, they had the Hobie Kayak Saltwater Series tournament that was held at Golden Meadow. He's got the results of that for you. Our bad boy feature, in keeping with our black bear focused on today's program, we have a convicted felon black bear killer. Got his story to tell you about. Things did not end up well for him. Ryan Lambert, our plastic man's going to join us talking about fishing in low Mississippi River conditions into wintertime, what that means, and also duck hunting. They are in the split right now. The season is closed in his area, but will reopen 1 week from today. And we're going to close it out with a phone call to the duck blind of Blake Swallow, who hunts at Full Strap and Stringers up in Catahoula. And great, he's had a pretty good first split and looking forward to a better second split. So there's been a lot of diving ducks up there, and maybe we'll get some of that live from the blind action that you love to hear. I love to hear it too on Saturday morning. So we got all of that to talk about. Got some other stuff I'll be passing along to you. We got some more text messages coming in. And this one says, with regard to our conversation on sheep's head, in Mississippi, before we had a limit on sheep head, people would scrape the barnacles on bridge pilings, wait a couple minutes, throw a heavy-duty cast net on them. Yeah, that's a trick on those pontchartrain pilings on the bridges there. If you bring a hoe or a shovel or something and scrape the barnacles off, it kind of stimulates the feeding there, and you can throw a line in there. As far as in Louisiana, catching sheephead with a cast net, it's not one of the legal methods to do that. Let's see, we have, here we go, Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop. Thanks for a wonderful Saturday morning. Thanks for stopping in early this week. Well, thank you for giving me the trim that I needed, Jason. I appreciate that. He's headed early to the barbershop this morning. All right, what have you got going on? 504-260-1870, that's our text line. A couple of things for our advanced shows before we wrap up 2024. We're going to ask you in 2 weeks on the 28th for a couple of things. One, we're going to ask you to vote for the baddest of the bad boys that we present you. We got four cases that we covered in 2024, and asking you, the audience, as you've done for many years in the past, to pick the one that you think is the baddest of the bad. And we're also going to ask, and you might want to start thinking about this now so I don't hit you with it right at the last minute, we're going to be asking you for your best wish for 2025, for the new year, with regard to the outdoors. What would you like to see? If you could have a wish come true in the year 2025, what would it be? Don't text it to me yet. Wait till that last show. We'll be doing that on the 28th when our number one starting producer, Cullen Steele, returns. Cullen's taking some time off next week, and we'll miss him. But we'll be in capable hands with Chris Coleman. So don't fear not. The show will go on next Saturday morning. All right, and coming back right after this time out, we're going to be checking in with a guy we call Born on the Bayou. Is that B-O-R-G-N-E on the Bayou, maybe, like in Lake Bourne? I don't know. We'll ask him. Mike Gallo's next. We're also going to ask him about some fishing conditions in his area. If you headed out this morning, he can help you find them and put them in the boat, too. Back with him right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of Seato. And, you know, that was one of the 10 top Christmas gifts I suggested. If you want to give the gift of peace of mind for two people, really, the boater, who will get the service when and where they need it, and also those loved ones who are concerned when someone is out on the water, particularly in some inclement conditions. So if you want to give that gift of peace of mind, it's $249 for a whole year. Even if you don't own a boat, if you know someone who does, I strongly suggest you call Captain Chris give him a call, 504-301-4545, or access him at seatow.com, and the recipient will get free boat towing, fuel delivery, jump starts for electrical problems, and 100% coverage of tows from your home dock to a repair facility, wherever you need to go to get back to safety. $249 a whole year. It's renewable after that. Seatow.com. Captain Mike joins us now. And Mike, are you taking some time off for the holidays already, or are you going to be fishing this week?
I will still be doing some fishing when I get back, Don. You know, my group from Texas has visited me and fished with me for 24 years, and I finally accepted an offer to come up and visit them. So I'm in Sisterdale, Texas.
And that's a new one. Where is Sisterdale?
That's a good question. We're not too terribly far from San Antonio.
Oh, okay. You out west then, for sure.
We're out west. A lot of hills, rocks, deer everywhere. We did some hunting yesterday, and Miss Jacqueline got in a stand with a crossbow. We didn't see anything to shoot. But we're going to try again today. So it's exciting.
That is. You're going to have to tell her I'm going to start nicknaming her Artemis and tell her to Google it if she doesn't know what it is. Artemis, yeah. So did I hear the word quail? Because Smokey, who's laying over here on the couch, her ears picked up when you said quail, I thought.
She went on point, huh?
Yeah, she's locked up.
Yes, we are going to do some quail hunting this morning. And maybe get back in a deer stand later this afternoon. That's our plan. It's kind of a visit. We're just visiting these. You know, you fish with them 24 years. You get to know them. They're good folks. We enjoy each other's company. So just kind of spending some time together.
Well, Mike, I know you, even though you're west of San Antonio, you still keep up with fishing at home. What can you tell us? I had somebody wanted to know about Bayou Bienvenue. How's the fishing there?
Well, I can tell you, once the rain cleared earlier this week, slipped out a couple of times and made two good trips. Both of those trips were on the North Shore. But I have been fishing down by Bayou Bienvenue. With this east wind that y'all have down there today, a warming trend, I'd wait till maybe 8 o'clock, let the water warm up a little bit. And they've been staging in anywhere, for me, anywhere from 15 to 20 feet of water. I was fishing along ledges. I caught fish in the Mystico. I caught fish in the intercoastal waterway using either live bait or, you know, plastic on a drop shot. So they're out there hunting peck till you find them. Catch what you need, catch what you want. If the bite dies down, you just want to try to find a similar area, whether it be a ledge or a shell bottom, man-made structure, you know, those types of things.
Got it. What about those bridges on Pontchartrain? Man, they have produced some really nice trout over the last few weeks. Was that fishable with the conditions we had?
I would think same thing today with an east wind. Generally, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain is fishable. There's a bit of a point that sticks out, and you get a little blockage from the wind. And it should be just fine. Same scenario. I'd let the water warm up a little bit. Seems the bite for me has always been best in the 11 to 2 o'clock range. Midday is when I've been doing best on my fish. I don't know. I made a dozen trips down to Bienvenue or the Pontchartrain area in the last 2-3 weeks. And middle of the day has always been best.
Hot bait?
I like glow. I like the Matrix glow. There's still a few shrimp in the area, and there's pogies. And that glow will mimic a white shrimp or a pogie very well.
Speaking of pogies, that's one of the oily, you know, scent-type-filled fish, bait fish. Do you ever use fish scents at all? Or do you use maybe gulp that's got or other baits that have it embedded in the plastic?
We do use the gulp, and I like the white gulp shrimp. A lot of people use curl tail baits this time of year. Those are all good producers. If there's a good number of trout around, let me put it this way, if there's smaller fish that are aggravating you, In other words, they're eating the legs off of your shrimp, pecking the eyes out of your shrimp. They're not big enough to eat the whole thing. Then I'll stay away from the gulp because of that scent. Those little fish will nip at it, and you'll think it's a trout, and you'll be setting the hook all day long. You know. So yeah. if my customers are bringing their shrimp back in and the legs are missing or the eyes are eaten out of it, but they're not big enough to eat the whole shrimp, then in that case, I know there's a bunch of small ones down there. I'll stick with the matrix itself. Maybe even adjust the length of my drop shot to where I'm fishing 2.5 feet off the bottom, and maybe I can keep some of them small ones off of my line.
Got it. Mike, if somebody wants to get information about booking a trip, they can find you on my website and also at aaofla.com. And when you get back from Texas, so what's the phone number to call?
Very simple. You can call me at 985-781-7811. And we may be gone, but I got boats going out today. We did all that coordinating last night. I booked a trip yesterday for Monday. So it's business as usual. I'm just taking a little short vacation.
All right. There he is, the CEO of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Mike, y'all have a great time up there. Tell the Texas boys hello for me, and wish Artemis good luck on that stand.
I sure will.
Thank you, Mike.
Don, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, there he goes from Texas, live from Texas, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, coming up next, Brendan Bayard. He was last week at the Hobie Saltwater Series tournament that was held in Godel Meadow. He's got the final results for us and also a fishing report with some tips if you like to paddle for your fish. It's called our Paddler's Report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. It's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is a presentation of No Wake Outfitters, located at 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, open Monday through Saturdays 10 to 6 and Tuesdays 8 to 8 on special store hours. And if you're looking for fly fishing equipment, anything for the paddlers as well as kayaks, conventional tackle, rods, reels, whatever, one of the number one places to shop for local information about local products. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Check them out. Brendan Bayard joins us now, and Brendan, last week 44 contestants entered, 3 went on to compete in the Hobie Fishing Worlds event. Tell us how the tournament went. You were in it.
Yeah, Don, it was a great event. We had a lot of cold weather building up to that event, and the day of the tournament was in the 40s, and the water was right about 50 degrees when we first launched. You know, I was starting over there in the pumping station right there, because that's a great wintertime spot. There was a few of us in there as well, along with second place winner Robert Burkhart. He caught the biggest trout, which was no surprise. I thought somebody was going to catch that biggest trout of the tournament in that pumping station, because whenever it gets cold, those big girls go in there and sit on the bottom. You just have to get lucky to put the right one in front of the right lure in front of one of those big trout's face, and he got it done. There was the winner actually came from North Carolina, Andrew Imes, and I've fished against Andrew before. He's come down in the old IFA tournaments over the years, so it was good to see a familiar face. He won the tournament in kind of a really nice fashion. He got 152 inches, and that was between 5 trout and 2 red, so you could do the math in your head, and that's some seriously impressive fish, you know, almost a 20 inch average on the trout, big reds. It was a great day out there fishing.
Was Andrew fishing in that pumping station area too?
No, actually, he went out to the lake and fished kind of the north side of the lake. So, you know, there's some big fish over there in Golden Meadow right now if you want to get out. I was so enamored with having a trolling motor to use in a tournament. I just spent my day checking out all kinds of new things, and it was so fun. But I guess I was a little distracted from the goal, and I was like, wow, I could go 7 miles. I can go 8 miles one way. And
yeah, I can't tell you how many times I sat there by that pumping station and watched boats run out of there, running right past fish. It happened all the time. Well, that's great. Now, the next tournament for the coming up for the club, Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, is the Minimalist Challenge. And now this is going to be different this year because the electric motors are going to be allowed. Do you think that's going to hurt participation or not at all?
I'm sure some people will be discouraged about that rule change, but I also have talked to people that have got kayaks in the last few years, and there's kind of a trend where these guys just get, you know, whatever kind of, you know, just kind of find an entry-level kayak as cheaply as they can, and then they get a trolling motor to just get out there and start fishing, and it's understandable. You know, some kayak models cost a lot, especially the ones with the pedal drives and stuff, but you're seeing a lot of guys get these trolling motors and canoes, kayaks. And so there is a growing number of those guys, which will be able to fish the tournaments too. So we'll see how it goes. It's, you know, there's no perfect science to whenever you make a rule change, you're going to upset some people, you're going to please some people. And we just really wanted to try something different, make it all about fishing. And, you know, after doing kayak fishing for 20 years, you know, everybody knows everybody's spots from the close side of the road. And so now we get motors and we can get a little bit further. And so we can start learning some new waters. And I'm excited about that because it'll give us a little bit more range to go out there and find some new waters to enjoy.
Yeah, that's a unique perspective on it. Brendan, tell us about the Minimalist Challenge. I tell you, I really like the rules and how this tournament is shaped up. It's very unique.
Yeah, we've been doing it, gosh, it must be 20 years now, but you show up to the launch and you get a Ziploc bag and, you know, it maybe has like five plastics and maybe a hard bait and some jig heads, and you're only allowed to fish with those baits the whole day. And so if you snag one on the bottom or you lose one, you throw it in the tree or something, you're out of luck. So you have to be both conservative on your baits and take care of them. And then, you know, you have to basically, you know, think about what you would use. And I don't know, it's an awesome, unique perspective on trying to catch a fish against everybody on an equal playing field, if you will. I mean, you know that everybody else fishing has got to use the same bait. So it's great. And people catch a lot of big fish that day. And then you're exposed to new bait that you wouldn't have concentrated with if otherwise. So, It's a great opportunity for both the sponsors of the Minimalist because they're getting 100 people to use their baits and us to get to use new baits.
Yeah, it's a great concept. Well, Brendan, before you go, and you can register, by the way, at bckfc.org and find out more information about it. Before you go, these days we got chilly mornings, sunny afternoons, temperatures on a roller coaster. If you're fishing trout in a kayak, how do you put the what's your technique for fishing during these times?
Yeah, we're definitely in the winter time. If it's you know, if you wake up and it's been cold for a couple of days, it's the typical, you know, I'm fishing dead end canals, deeper water, deep water that doesn't turn over. I'm not fishing in a running bayou that's 20 feet deep. I'm fishing in a pond that's 20 feet deep that's not having current in it, just to keep the temperature difference between the marsh and those deeper spots, you know, important to the trout. Those are the kind of places I'm looking for that have fish stack up whenever there's a temperature of, say, 50s and lower. When you get those days where the temperature is above, say, 50, mid-50s, I'm looking at flats, you know, like scattered oyster shell flats in the, you know, 3 to 6 foot range. I'm drifting those. That's usually on the warmer trend days in the winter time. And then you want to look at the atmospheric pressure to determine if you want to throw topwaters or if you want to throw plastics or corks. You know, with the shrimp still in the marsh a little bit, those marker 54 shrimps have been doing a lot of damage. I definitely bring either those or some voodoos or some DOAs to put under in your bag to throw under a cork. And then, you know, Miradines and topwaters are also a great favorite of mine.
Very good. Brendan, thanks so much for those great tips, as you do all year long. And we'll be checking in with you on our last program of the week. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All righty. Our last program of the year, I think, is what I meant to say. All right. We come back after this. It's bad boy time. Convicted felon with a shotgun and a dead bear. What is all that going to end up with? Whew, not good for Christopher Buck. We'll tell you his story next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we are in the middle of a duck calling competition. We're asking you to vote for contestant number one or number two. If you just tuned in, sorry you missed it, but we had a little bit earlier. Cast your vote by texting us at 504-260-187. Here's another comment. P.S. If you like number one, I hope you like chicken. That's liable to spurn some fighting words. All right, Brandon, we're hearing from Brandon this morning. He's giving the deer a break, and he's taking the kids on a squirrel hunt this morning. Good deal, man. Nothing like hunting squirrels with some youngsters, getting them involved in beginning hunters. Love to hear that. All right, we got the worm. He says his dad, Captain Hawk, used fish nets, 4-inch webbing. When the shrimp left Pontchartrain in the winter, he would fish 2 miles west of the train trestle bridge, and he would catch huge schools of sheephead and drum in the thousands of pounds. Yeah, that was back in the day when that was possible. All right, here's, let's see, this one is doing a 4-mile walk, enjoying the show. A very long-time listener. Question, will the CETO membership I buy for myself, will it cover me on another boat if I decide to ride with someone else? That's Joe from Biloxi. Joe, that's kind of a tricky question. They do provide the service on every boat you own, you rent, or you borrow. Now, if you borrow your buddy's boat and you have a problem, yes, you'd be covered if you have a policy. If he's operating the boat and you're just on it, that's kind of a gray area. I would call Captain Chris and just ask him. It's 504-301-4545, and he'll give you a clarification on that. All right, our bad boy black bear killer is next, his story, and we'll get to it right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are in the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, agents involved in today's bad boy bear killer case are Sergeant Cole Cupid, Agent Andrew Lemoyne, and Lieutenant Chad Watts. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries veterinarian Rusty Berry performed a necropsy on the bear. The necropsy is the animal version of the human autopsy. It determines the cause and circumstances of death. Our story begins when the agents arrested Christopher Buck on the Richard K. Yancey Wildlife Management Area at 2:30 p.m. on November the 29th after finding him in possession of a shotgun and being a convicted felon, and booked him into the Concordia Parish Jail. Then on December 1st, when agents were notified about a dead black bear found on the WMA, and this could be very well the same bear I saw there during a scouting trip last year, the necropsy of that bear determined it was shot with buckshot. The agents went to the Concordia Parish Jail, interviewed Buck about the dead black bear on the WMA, and he fessed up. He admitted to the agents that he shot the bear around noon, and a charge of taking a bear during close season was added to his felon in possession of a firearm citation. When his day in court arrives, facing maximum fines and civil restitution for the replacement value of the bear in the amount of $15,950 and up to 20 years in jail, is 30-year-old Christopher Buck of Lafayette, Louisiana, our black bear killer bad boy of the outdoors. Not a good combination at all, Christopher. Felon, shotgun, dead black bear, big trouble. All right, we come back after this. The Plastic Man joins us. He's enjoying a low Mississippi River down in Plaquemines Parish in the wintertime. We'll get him to tell you what that means and get a forecast for next weekend's reopening of the duck zone down there in the West Zone. Back with Ryan after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And como está usted en el México?
It's good, buddy. It's good. That's the other one here doing that, but you know, it's just said they trust fishing for the kind of nice aquarium. Oh my goodness, no aquarium like this morning with the dogs.
Well, you got a lot of good stuff going on down there. What's the weather like down there right now?
It's calm this morning, but they're gonna blow out the south this evening, and hopefully I'll get on some good eggs. It's just not a lot of around here. There's so much water from these 2 tropical storms up there that the ducks are pretty dispersed. They're in all the fields, and then the potholes got some ducks. But the big concentration of little unusual because this time of year, usually we do really well. This year is a little different. It's okay. And because of all that rain, we had tons of quail. I think it was 125 yesterday.
That's incredible.
Wild quail, too. That's the best part, wild quail.
Is that the Bob White or one of the other species?
It's the Bob Whites. Hmm. We have blues for the guests, but we just hunt the Bob Whites.
Yeah. Now, we're talking to...
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking to Ryan Lambert, normally at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He's at his alternative lodge, Nolejase, down in Mexico. Tell us about Nolejase. What do you guys do down there besides hunt and eat well and have fun?
Oh, yeah. It's a world-class wing shooting. You know, you have ducks, geese, dove, quail, sandhills. I mean, just about anything. So we start all this with white wings. That's like high-volume hunt. That's so much fun, golly. I shoot 100 and quit. I'm not going to shoot 100 ducks. You don't have to prove nothing. Just have a good time. So then you get 20 ducks in the morning, 20 in the evening doing that. So it's just a plethora of wing shooting. So, you know, like I said again, the quail is shooting, the wild quail. There's a, you know, that used to be such a southern tradition and such a great sport. Like today, to go with the dogs, and just to watch that, the points of the guys out there in orange. They get up and you see all the guts come up. It's just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I'm into it, and unfortunately, you know, we're pretty much limited to shooting preserves, and thank God we got that, or the dogs wouldn't have anything to do. Nolejase, a little translation is no worries. Who put that name on the lodge?
It really is. It doesn't make it. Nolejase, it doesn't make it, but it really, when they say it in slang, it don't matter.
Nolejase. Nolejase, no matter, no worries.
Yeah,
all right, back home down in Plaquemines Parish, we got a low Mississippi River in the wintertime. What does that mean for fishing down there?
Well, a low Mississippi, we have a -8 tide today, which means you better watch where you run.
Yeah.
9 o'clock this morning, there won't be a drop of water. But, you know, the river is down real low, and even in January, it's 2 foot, so this is going to continue the great fishing. I mean, we get to them on both sides of the river, trout, sheephead, black drums, redfish. And I mean, redfish moved in a big way, so sightfish and redfish are enjoying right now, whether it's dry rod or top water, whatever. So they're going down those banks and smash their shrimp. Or you throw a little big pop or skinwalk or something on them, and they blow it up.
Yeah. So what's the prospects for next week's reopening down there for the duck season? And do you have any trips open for the rest of the spit?
No.
No.
We got some, but it's all the good water is taken up pretty much. Then you got so much negative tide. So we're gonna hunt on the outsides and we're going to hunt in the bays. And once I get that developed, we'll be all right. But just got to make sure that we can kill them on the outside because when you get -8 tide, there is absolutely not a drop of water in the marsh. I mean, the blinds would be sitting way up on top of the land. So if that's all we need, when we go outside, we'll just go hunt them outside. We've got to set up on some islands and stuff out there. You know, we've got some water. You know, the blind will kill them. So that's what we have to do this year. So we have a ton of negative tide after Christmas, and most of January is negative tide. So. But there's a lot of ducks. There's more ducks at home than they got down here this year. So
yep.
I'm surprised that there are a number of ducks we have killed so far because, you know, we haven't had that much cold weather. And even early in the season, we wiped them pretty good, but not having. I was surprised. I didn't look like that big of an outcome. But we have them, and Delaco area has them, so everybody's been doing good. And then you have other cases that they're not killing nothing. It's been sparse.
Mm-hmm. Well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get Blake Swallow on. He's hunting up there at Catahoula, and he told me he's enjoyed a pretty good season up there for the first split. And a lot of diving ducks have been coming down for the second split, and we'll see how they're doing. All right, so when you get back, can people call you? You got somebody manning the phones right now if somebody wants info.
Oh, they call me anytime. They can always call me. I always get phone them right where in the world I am. It's what I do.
That's it.
So they can call me direct at 504-559-5111. You know, or they can call the office too and Sherry will set it up. Just we do have some stuff on that negative tide. We can always fish in the morning and hunt in the evening, too. So
yeah,
there's always options.
That's another alternative. All right, well, look, try to send me some video of those quail down there. I'd love to see that.
We'll do better. We'll do it.
All right, enjoy it, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, see y'all.
There he is, live and direct at Nolajase Hunting Lodge in Mexico. You can get information about going down there, too. All right, coming back after this, Blake Swallow's going to check in. Are we going to check in with him? He's in a duck blind this morning up at Catahoula with Full Strap and Stringers Guide Service. We'll get the results from the opening day of the second split of the East Zone in Louisiana. We're back right after this. I want to thank all of you who texted in this morning with your votes for our duck calling contest. I'm happy to announce that contestant number one won by four votes over contestant number two. And maybe the Steel Man will identify the winner so we can properly congratulate them. All right, got some other questions and comments coming in. We'll get to those if we have time. But right now we're going to take you live and direct to the blind of Full Strap and Stringers. Professional duck guide Blake Swallow joins us now from Catahoula. Blake, good morning. How's things looking this morning down there?
Don, this morning's nice. We got a good southeast wind, about 7 to 10 miles an hour. We're actually hunting on the farm, which is a little bit east of the lake, but the birds have been plentiful this morning. Actually, we got a three-man, and we're just about done. We've killed our pintail limit and just waiting on a few teal and gadwall to finish it up, but it's been a good morning so far.
Wow, that is outstanding. It's still very early in the morning. You know, the trip is going to end for those folks. Kind of recap us for us from your area up there. What happened during the first split?
The first split was actually pretty good. We had an issue with high water early. And then we got the water off the lake. The farms got water early, which was a good thing, and held quite a few birds. The days that weather permitted, when we had some wind, we did very well. Overall, first split, 14 out of 16 days, was very positive.
Very good. And this morning, who are you hunting with this morning?
Actually, I got State Representative Jason DeWitt from the Alexandria area, and a guy named Phil Swallow, my brother.
Outstanding. Sound like a good crew. Sound like they're pretty good shots, too, considering what you got already.
Well, you know, Don, when you get them in close, it don't take a real good shot to take that far.
I knew you'd get credit for it, Blake, one way or another. They may argue about that, too, you know, having to make those peripheral shots. Well, sound like y'all having fun. If somebody wants to get in touch with you and find out about some opening days, do you have any openings left?
We have a few openings right there in the back. We have a few openings, Don. Just give me a call at 318-730-8809 and just ask for Blake, or go on our Facebook page or our webpage, fullstrapandstringer.com. We'll be glad to help you.
Well, I tell you what, hearing your mouth call for teal is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the things we do up here.
Yeah. Well, y'all continue to have fun. Sound like you're well on your way to a limit, and we'll try to drop in and check on you and get some more reports later in the season. Glad y'all having a good
day. Have a good day, Don. Thanks. Good talking to you.
All right. Blake Swallow, Full Strap and Stringers. And they do catch fish up there. Again, that number is 318-730-8809. He's also on Facebook. All right. Let's close out with some of our comments on our text board. This question comes in and says, so Buck, speaking of Christopher Buck, our bad boy uses Buck shot. My reply is, yeah, very bad choice. This one is from Bo. He says, for the first time in, 40 years, he recently disabled due to construction, working in the construction industry. He's waking up to the shotguns going off down in the marsh, and it's killing me. Hopefully next year will be better. That is Bo. Well, Bo, we're going to make a New Year's wish for you to come true, that your health does improve, and you are able to get back on the blinds and on the stands to do some more huntings. Here's an interesting question that popped up. Do land developers pay, it says resolutions, but I'm sure that was autocorrect, meaning restitution, for all the animals they kill and misplace? I'm not sure that land developers actually kill animals in the developing of land. Misplacing, for certain, for sure, they do that. I don't know if that's ever been presented or challenged that they be paid. Now, of course, if it's being developed, it's being done on private land by a private owner, and that would be at his own peril and his own loss if, you know, there were no more game animals that were on that property. I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. Maybe somebody will challenge that one day about, you know, for animals that have been displaced. Who would be the recipient, though? I mean, the state, you know, it doesn't really kill them. There's no loss. It's not being taken. It's just being displaced or misplaced. So anyway, very interesting question, and we thank you for that. All right, again, if you missed it, the winner of our duck calling contest was contestant number one, won by a total of a pretty narrow margin, 4 votes over contestant number two, even though someone said that contestant number one's call sounded like a chicken call. I disagree with that. But, hey, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you could call chickens. Anyway, we're going to be back to do this all over again next week, and I'm going to on my way to catch up with Captain Jeremy McHugh over at Tarpon Tales in Gulfport, Mississippi. We're going to be bringing Gavin Guidry, LSU star pitcher, and Matty McKee, LSU softball star, and we'll be taking them on a floundering trip. That's going to take place tomorrow night. We'll have a duck hunt with them on Monday morning, and then you will get to see that on a Tigers in the Wild adventure, an episode of Bayou Wild TV upcoming. Don't forget to catch us on Bayou Wild TV. YouTube is the easiest, but we have a whole list of stations and times and channels where we air. Check it out on our website. We're into season 13, headed towards 14. And on this show, the radio show, we have spanned 5 decades. Yep, count them. Starting in the 80s all the way to the 2020s. 36th year we're working on, and thank you for making it a success all these years. We appreciate you each and every week. You're invited again back next week. Thanks to Cullen Steele. Going to be off next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.